All right. Okay. Now, I want to share with you a message. It's a standalone message, not in a series. In September, the second Sunday of September, we're starting a new series called Making Change. And that's about any of us in the building that are watching online that says, you know what, there's some things I need to work on in my personal life. This is going to be one of those series that helps us make the necessary changes. We're going to look at personal finance. We're going to look at all kinds of stuff. But really, it's about deciding to make changes in our personal life that will help us moving forward. So that's going to be starting the second Sunday of September. And so I believe that's the same weekend that the NFL starts back too. So all kinds of good things are happening that weekend. So make sure you put that on your calendar. We're going to call it Making Change. So today, though, I want to talk to you about, it's a very simple subject, but I believe it's something we're all dealing with. It's a matter of how we look at our lives. Everybody in the room could probably say, I have a pretty good life. Things are going pretty good. And yet, we find ourselves slipping into that negative place where we complain about things. Don't look at your spouse, all right? Just stay focused. Everybody has that moment where we complain about stuff, where we just go negative, where we don't handle things the right way. And we start to feel like that we are victims in this life instead of victors. And the Bible tells us that we have been given victory. It's not about us. It's about what God wants to do in our life. We are not victims of our circumstances. We're children of God, and He wants to work in our lives. He wants to use us. But we got to make sure that we continually focus in on how we're looking at life and we have the right perspective in life, that we're choosing to approach life the right way. The mind is a battlefield. I mean, it's always an issue of us choosing this or choosing that, staying positive, going negative. There's a battle going on. It's difficult to stay positive. So I want to start this morning with a passage of Scripture. It's a beautiful story in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. And I want to read you one Scripture, and then I want to tell you the story. The Lord said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So God says to Moses, "I want you to get 12 guys together, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and you're going to send them into the promised land, the land I am giving to the Israelites." He didn't say that I might give to the Israelites. I'm thinking about giving to the Israelites. There's a chance I can give it. He said, "I want you to send these 12 men out into the land, and I want them to explore, to sort of spy out what's going on in the land, because I'm giving you this land." He was really saying, "I just want to prepare you," is what God was saying. So Moses told them, these 12 men, to assess this land. They get them all packed up, and they're sending them out on a 40-day journey. And Moses says to them, "I want you to check out the people. What kind of people are they? Let's find out, are they tough? Are they big? Are they strong? Are they warriors? Find out about the people." He said, "I want you to check on the land. Is it good land or bad land? Is it fertile? Is it not fertile? I want you to check on the towns. Are these cities walled, or are they just sort of like camps? I want you to look at the soil. Is it fertile? Is it not fertile? I want you to answer, are there trees there? Are there trees in this land?" And then he said, "If you can," I almost feel like Moses is just like a little bit of a sweet tooth going on. He's like, "And if you can, bring back some of the crops. Just bring back some of it so we can see it." And so the land, it turned out, was fertile. And it took two men, when these guys got there, it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. You know that little bag of grapes you get at Walmart that the zipper thing doesn't work on the top? And they're just sitting there open. You're like, why didn't they just, I don't even understand. Anyway, so as delicious and as beautiful as that little bag of grapes is, they had clusters of grapes in this promised land that were so big they would have to put a pole between the two fellas and drape the grapes over it. They were so big and so heavy. It was just a beautiful land. The Bible calls it a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, there wasn't milk flowing and there wasn't honey flowing, but it just means it was a land of prosperity. It was just beautiful. Everything about it was exactly what God had promised them. And so they were, some of these guys were excited about it. But as beautiful as all of this was, this land flowing with milk and honey, there were people there the Bible describes as powerful people. They lived in fortified cities. There were even some giants there. There was a race of people, the Bible says, that were bigger than the average person. Out of these 12 people, there were two of them that the Bible really focuses in on. One is named Joshua, and one is named Caleb. And so when the people started to gather, and the 12 men came back, and the people started to gather, and they were going to give this report to Moses, they started to say, hey, there's all kinds of good stuff going on here. I mean, there's all kinds of great stuff. They just start describing it. Look at these grapes, and look at all this. And Joshua and Caleb are being very positive, but the other 10 guys are seeing all the negative things. They're seeing the powerful people and the fortified cities and the giants. And as these guys start to say, this is all the negative stuff that's out there, Caleb says, let's go right now. We can do it. Let's just go right now. You know that guy, right? Let's just do it. No planning. No, let's don't figure it out. We can do it. Let's just go. Caleb was that guy. But the other 10 said, no. When we were there, the guys that live there already, they are so big, we felt like grasshoppers to them. And he didn't just say we felt like grasshoppers. He said they thought we felt like grasshoppers too. They thought they could beat us too. So all the people of Israel start to murmur among themselves. They start weeping, the Bible says. They start protesting. They say things like, we should just go back to Egypt. They'd been in slavery for 400 years in Egypt, and now through a series of miracles that God had gotten them out of Egyptian bondage, now they were set at the first true battle. They were saying, let's just go back to Egypt. It'll be easier there. And they started to plot to choose new leaders. They wanted other people that would let them off the hook and they could just slide back into their old habits. And Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. Don't be afraid. God is on our side. God has promised this land to us. And all the people started to plot a way to kill Joshua and Caleb. Their positivity turned everybody off. And as these people were plotting to kill Joshua and Caleb, something beautiful happens. The Bible says the glorious presence of God appeared at the tabernacle. God came down. God showed up in a powerful way. And there's some interaction between God and Moses, and Moses intercedes for the people. But these people have been so negative, and they've really been so negative about the power of God. They forgot that God was on their side. They forgot that God was the one who was going to take care of them and walk with them and help them. They had forgotten all that. And God was, just to be honest, it seems like God was disgusted with it. God wanted them to see all the blessings and the miracles he had provided for them to get them where they were. And now they're ready to go all the way back where they started and live as slaves. And watch what God says in Numbers 14. He responds to these people by saying this. You will all drop dead in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to stop right there. You know you have really messed up when God says to you, you're all going to drop dead. All of you. Because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. He said the only people that are going to see the promised land are Joshua and Caleb and everybody under 20 years old. All the other people that had seen the miracles of God, who had experienced the miracles of God, but chose to disrespect and complain against God, They were not going to see it. I find it interesting that these 12 spies went into the promised land for 40 days, and then God was going to allow the children of Israel to walk around the wilderness for 40 years. They got, for every day of complaining, they got a year in the wilderness. Now, that's not something, we're not going to say that's a rule, all right? But God doesn't play around with this. God wants us to see things the way he sees them. You've got these 10 guys that went, and you got the two guys that went. Joshua and Caleb are full of faith. They will go on to do great things with their life. But this group over here saw the same facts as this group, but there was a different filter. They ran it through a different filter. 10 out of the 12 saw it negative. 2 out of the 12 saw it positive. It's much easier to be negative than it is to be positive. But watch what the Bible says all the way in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12. He said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. He said, don't take the easy way, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There is a way that we can go through this life understanding the power and the presence of God and not giving in to what our brains are telling us to. But we can know that we are going to have victory no matter what's going on. Our brains actually create neural pathways, scientists say, to connect the whatever we want to think about. When the more we think about something, the easier it is to think about that. It's science. The more often we think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought. When we are just constantly thinking in negative terms and complaining, then it's so easy. It's just so easy to fall into that trap. Negative, negative, negative. And if it's in here, it's going to come out of here, and everybody around us is going to see it. Now listen, don't go home and say to your family, am I negative? Because you might not like what they say. Probably you ought to work on you a minute first before you just ask everybody's input. It's so easy to be negative. But the problem is that we have to change our filter. If you don't change your filter in your air conditioning in your house, bad things happen. You have to change the filter in your car. You got to change your filter. Your filter gets dirty. And you got to work on the filter a little bit, because we filter everything in our life and then we think about it after it's gone through that filter. Let me give you an example. If your parents raised you saying those rich people are just awful, they're terrible, they're selfish, they always take advantage of people. And then as you get a little older, you start doing better in life and financially, and you're doing better and better, and you have this guilt going on because you're looking at your life through a filter that you were given a long time ago. Maybe your family, or you just picked it up somewhere along the way. Maybe you look at one ethnic group through a filter that you shouldn't be looking at them through. And every time you see somebody from that group, you put on that filter and you have feelings about that because of something that's happened or you've been taught or you've learned about in your past. I mean, there's a million filters that we bring to it. And most of us have a tendency to think that we are right no matter what. Everybody can share their suggestions around the room, and yet in the back of our mind, we're thinking, I'm right. I know these are wise people, but I'm right. I know that mine is the best idea because I'm usually right. We have this filter, and we allow things in only after it goes through the filter. If we're going to change our feelings about something, we're going to have to change our filter. We're going to have to make sure. Now watch this. If you change your filter, you change your feelings. You got to change your filter, and then you can change your feelings. Some of us are constantly just using the same old filter. Things aren't going to change for me. Life is never going to be okay for me. I'm never going to have any money in my account. My kids are never going to do right. And we everything that's happening in our life comes through that filter. And the filter is not working right. It's time to change the filter and read God's word and filter it through God's word. Here's what the Bible says about your children that aren't living right. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that everybody should come to faith. That's the filter. That's the filter that we see it through. But the negative side of us says, I don't know. I don't know. We all know about social media filters. Some of y'all think that we think you're 20 years old. We know you're 45, all right? We see the wrinkles every Sunday when you come to church, but on Facebook, every now and then I'm flipping, I'm like, wow, they look young. Oh, forget that. There's a filter. There's a filter for that. There's a filter for everything. You can make yourself look any way you want. You want muscles? You don't need to go to the gym. Get the filter. Woo. And you're just ready to roll. We all get that. But you got to remove the filter to see the truth. We got to make sure we're seeing life in the right way. There's two different people can respond completely differently to the same situation. Let me give you an example. If the boss walks into one person's office and the boss says, hey, I really want us to start answering the phone this way. Say these words when you answer the phone. One person might say, I've been answering this phone for 25 years. And how dare you come in here and tell me how to answer the phone? I've been doing this job longer than you've been alive. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And if I need to find another job, I'll find another job. All the boss said was, we're going to change the way we're answering the phone. You got another person over here that goes, I got it. I want to make sure I'm doing my job the best I can. I appreciate the help. Any other advice you might have to help me do my job better? Same facts, same thing was said, different filter. This person over here is coming from a different place in life. Something put a filter in their life along the way. They've experienced something, experienced somebody along the way that they feel like they got to protect themselves from. So they put the filter up and they feel like they're fighting for everything they get. This person over here has chosen a different filter. Maybe they were brought up the same way, received the same treatment, but they've decided I'm going to put on a different filter. That living like that as a slave of Egypt is not enough. I want to walk in freedom in a promised land. I want to walk looking at life through the right filter. Two people could walk in this church and see completely different things. Somebody might walk in this church and go, those people are crazy. They're always standing up, raising their hands, and singing all the time. And if you say anything about deliverance, they go crazy. They just, you know, and somebody else might walk in here and go, hallelujah, I finally found my people. These are the people I need. So there are different filters. Now, that one doesn't work completely. You can go to a different church and still get to heaven. That's all right. We don't mind that. But we're all dealing with a filter. But there are times when the filter's not enough, and we just got to reframe what we're looking at. We got to sort of reframe it. Let me give you a definition for reframing. It's a technical definition. It says this, creating a different way of looking at a situation by changing its meaning. I'm going to look at something differently so I can change the meaning of this situation. Not I'm going to be oblivious to the circumstances and the facts. I'm going to live in la-la land. None of that. That's not what we're talking about. Very pointedly, it means I'm going to look at the same situation, but I'm going to choose to look at it in a different way. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. So I want to take a look at this first picture right here. Now, in this picture, to me, it looks like that a storm is sliding in on a beautiful day at the beach. That there, the storm is coming. Now, we've all seen storms hit the beach, and we all know what that looks like. But in life, there's always a storm brewing somewhere. If you don't know this yet, I'm going to help you. Bad stuff is going to happen to you. Bad stuff is going to happen to you and me for the rest of our lives. That's not negative. That's just honest. Bad stuff that we think is bad is coming our way. Now watch this. Let's look at the next slide. We get to frame what part of this story we're going to look at and we're going to focus on. Are we going to focus on the side that's just got nothing but black clouds and negativity? Or are we going to focus on the other side where there's sunshine and calm seas? We get to choose how we're going to do that. Now look at the next slide. Our life starts to only resemble, our life resembles what we choose to focus on. We get to reframe it. Now, listen, bad stuff is going to happen. But am I going to live like a black cloud is hanging over me for the rest of my life? Or am I going to live like there's some sunshine out there? I just got to wait for it and stay faithful long enough. Now let's take this look. I want to leave this up there. Take a look at this. I want us to look inward for just a minute. Maybe you are not where you thought you would be at this point in your life. Maybe you thought, boy, at this point in my life, I thought I'd have more money. Can I get an amen on that one? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thought, I really thought that our marriage would be a little happier than it is right now. I really thought that my kids would be acting differently. I heard somebody. I don't know if that was an amen or an oh me. But maybe you thought you would have started a business by now. Maybe you thought, I never dreamed that we would be dealing with sickness the way we're dealing with it. Why am I not where I wanted to be? That's the question. Why am I not where I wanted to be? I've been living for the Lord. I've been doing the right things. I've been going to church. I've been giving my tithes. I've been praying. I've been taking care of my family. I've been faithful. I confess my sins. I'm trying to do the right thing. Why am I not where I want to be? If you've ever felt that way, then the Apostle Paul has something to say to you. The Apostle Paul wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. And he felt like if I can get to Rome and preach, man, people are just going to, there's so many people coming through Rome every day that I'll preach and people will get saved and they'll just take off from there and we'll spread the gospel all over the place. Everybody will know about Jesus before long. He gets to Rome, starts talking about Jesus and gets arrested and put in prison. He's not standing out there preaching. He's in jail. He could have said, well, this stinks, and I can't believe God would do me like this for preaching. Why would God let me end up in prison when I'm doing the right things? But he didn't go negative. He went positive. Philippians chapter 1 says this. Look at verse 12. And I want you to know, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippian church. He said, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. And everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. He said, look, let me tell you what's really happening here. I didn't get what I wanted. He said, I really wanted to be out there preaching the gospel, but I'm in here. And he said, I'm spreading the good news even in here. And the whole palace guard, knows that I am in jail because I follow Jesus. Amen. Now, how did they know that? Because history says that every 8 hours, he had a new guard chained to him. Now, you tell me who is the prisoner. Is it him or the guard? He was really saying to the church at Philippi, I get a new audience every 8 hours and they ain't going nowhere. I get to preach to this new guy for 8 hours. That's why he said the whole palace guard knows why I'm here. Every time, I'm getting a brand new one. I'm getting to share the gospel. He could have gone negative. He could have said, how dare God do this to me? But instead, he said, look what God's doing in me. Look what God is doing. Look at the opportunities. The palace is starting to hear about me. Because I am in chains for the gospel. So he preaches to everybody along. In the next verse, verse 14, he says this, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. He's like, even the Christians outside of jail are getting bolder now. They're starting to feel bold because they're hearing about me preaching the gospel in here. And then they figure if I can do it in here, they can do it out there. And they're feeling bold and they want to share the gospel. And he said, the message is going to go out. The facts are the same. He was in prison, but the framing was different. He chose to look at his situation differently than maybe some of us, including me, would have done. So I want to share three things with you very quickly that will help us reframe our story. All right, just three things. Here's number one. if you're going to reframe your story, thank God for what didn't happen. Thank God for what didn't happen. I love the story about the 20-year-old girl who was off at college, and she called her parents and she told them, when I get home, I have some really, really, really bad news to share with you. And of course, her parents were just, their hearts dropped and they were nervous and worried. She finally got home and immediately they just made her sit down in the living room and they said, what's going on? What's going on? We want to help. And she said, well, I met a guy. And it was a one-night stand, and I'm pregnant. But the good news is that he loves me, and I'm going to quit school and get a job to help him pay his fines so that he can finish his probation earlier. So that he can finalize his divorce, and then he wants to marry me. Her parents their hearts just sank. Yes, this is just terrible. And they started crying and they started hugging. And finally she said, really, none of that happened. I just made a D on my chemistry final and I wanted to tell you it could be worse. Listen, sometimes we just need to say, thank you, God, for what didn't happen. That's reframing. Let me look at the positive side of this. If your kids have a fender bender, you don't have to say, oh, I'm angry about the fender bender. We can say, thank you, God, that nobody got hurt. Thank you, God, for what didn't happen, for what God protected us from. So if I'm going to reframe it, I got to recognize that. Here's the second one. Practice pre-framing. Your life and my life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. If I'm negative, that's where my life is headed. It's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. What you think about, you bring about. Now listen, I'm not a name it, claim it guy. You don't go, all right, I think by next week I'm going to be a millionaire. No, that's not the way it works. But we operate, we do things according to how we feel about our future. We only put in the amount of effort that we feel like will bring us the results that we're thinking about. If I'm negative about everything, if I feel like I'm going to fail, if I feel like I'm going to get fired from my job, if I feel like I'm going to get downsized, then why even work any harder? Why even try? Just go in late, mail in the work, don't do it, just fake it until you get laid off. Why in the world would we do that when God has promised us, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread? If I'm going to get downsized, God has something else for me. I just got to be faithful in this moment. I just got to do. Listen, I may need a reference from the boss that's going to downsize me one day. So if I don't finish well, then I don't get the next blessing that God has for me. I got to go into this saying I'm going to choose the positive approach no matter what happens. Now remember, this is not easy. It's a battle. Here's the third thing. Look for God's goodness. You find what you're looking for. You find what you're looking for. You find what you're looking for. You find the goodness and the blessings of God if you're looking for those things in your life. It's a choice we get to make. We get to decide. Look at this next screen. You get to be a buzzard or a hummingbird. That's the only two choices you get in life. Let me tell you the biggest distinction between these two. A buzzard, now that's country lingo for vulture, all right? If you're a vulture or a buzzard, you're just looking for dead stuff all the time. But if you're a hummingbird, you're always looking for something sweet. You're looking for the thing that you know is out there, you just don't have in the moment. You're looking for God's goodness. Buzzards eat dead, rotten stuff because that's what they're looking for. Hummingbirds show up clean and bright and beautiful because they're looking for that sugar water feeder you got on your back porch. What am I looking for? What am I looking for in life? God wants to help us with this. The difference between being positive and being negative is the same as being active or being passive. I got to be active. If I want to be positive, I'm going to have to be active. I'm going to have to choose it. I'm going to have to wake up today and choose it. We're interpreting the goodness of God through, let me say it this way. We're not interpreting the goodness of God through our circumstances. We're interpreting our circumstances through the goodness of God. God wants to work in our lives. God wants to take us on a journey. God wants to use us, but we got to do it His way. Romans chapter 12. We already read it once. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I can't just give in to the way the world thinks. The world's negative and dark. As believers in Christ, we should be the most positive people on the planet. We should have the greatest outlook. Now, we don't always do it. I don't always do it. But it's a goal. It's a goal. It should be the goal. If I'm positive and encouraging, then people are going to want to know what I have. But it's a matter of God allowing God to work in our lives and to do this His way. One last scripture, John chapter 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. We got to know the truth. What is the truth? God's still in charge. I'm going to close with this. I find myself, when I skip my consistent Bible reading times, I find myself with a lack of faith. I find myself doubting, worrying more, not as confident as I need to be, not as self-assured as I need to be. Because here's what happens. The Bible says we get faith because we consume or we hear God's word. If I'm not receiving God's word into my life, if I'm not receiving it, then I cannot expect to have the confidence to walk through life with a positive attitude. And you will know the truth. The truth is in the book. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Let's stand together, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to pray two prayers this morning. One is this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know Him first and foremost. Above everything else, I want you to know Jesus. Have a relationship with Christ. Quit trying to do it on your own. Quit trying to carry it on your own. Quit trying to make life happen by yourself and surrender it to God. It's as easy, we say around here, as ABC. You have to admit that you've sinned. You know you're not perfect. That's an easy one. Just admit it. Admit that we've sinned, believe in Jesus, and confess Him as Lord of our lives. So we're going to pray, and if you're ready to pray that prayer, surrender your heart to Christ, I want you to pray that in your own way this morning and let God start working in your life. Father, we just thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy, Lord. We know You have been faithful, and You have blessed us, and You have helped us, and You have answered our prayers. You've done so much for us, God. But Lord, today we want to confess our sins. We just want to admit that we've sinned. We want to believe in You, and we want to confess You as Lord of our lives. Lord, for every person who is in that place where it's time to start their relationship with You, I pray, Lord, give them the courage and the peace and draw them today with Your Spirit so that they can start that journey and recognize that You want to work in their life and You want to accomplish great things. God, we thank You for that. We thank You for that right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the second prayer we're going to pray. God, I want to be a Caleb and a Joshua. I want to be the people who say we can do it for God. We can accomplish this for God. We can do this the way God wants us to do it. When everybody else in the circle is negative, that we go, there's more. God's in charge. That we can take this in a positive direction. We can recognize the blessings of God and see what God wants to do in our lives and see how God wants to use us. The prayer is, God, make me a Joshua. God, make me a Caleb. I want to see the promised land. I don't want to die in the wilderness when the promised land is waiting. I want to have the right attitude so You can take me where You want me to go. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for all You're doing. Thank You, God, for Your grace and Your mercy. But Lord, we know that You have good things in store. And Lord, we want to latch onto You. We don't want to latch onto the things, God, because bad things are going to happen. Lord, we don't want to let our joy hinge on what we get and how good life is. Lord, we want to latch onto You. We want to grab hold of You and let You work in our lives. And Lord, when we feel the the urge to go negative. Help us to override that and trust you in faith. And Lord, help let the truth rise up in us and help us to remember that if we know the truth, we can be set free. And we can walk in your grace and we can see the promised land you have for us. But the job is to be faithful. The job is to be faithful. And all we have to do, you had already promised, Lord, that land belonged to them. They missed the promise. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us not to miss the promises of God and your word. Help us to let you have your way and do your work. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Here's our homework this week. It's very simple. It's very simple. To ask ourselves a few times throughout the day, am I being positive? Set your reminder on your phone or your watch or however you get your reminders. And you get that reminder, tells you to drink some water, stand up and walk and all that stuff. Add one in that says, am I being positive? Just a minute, a moment of self-evaluation, and let's just let God work in our lives. If today is your first day here at Grace Point, we just want to thank you for choosing to be here with us and worship with us today. And we hope that you want to come back, and we would love for you to be back. If you have any questions, and even if you don't, if you just want to stop by, we have a quick gift for you directly across the hall. The door to my left, your right, just go straight across the hall. And we just want to say hello. We won't make you late for lunch. We just have a quick gift we want to give you, and thank you for being here. God bless us as we go. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.